Welcome back, everybody. It is Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's a Monday edition. Folks, just a couple of, you know, housekeeping and programming notes as well. Like the previous ad just noted, we got a live show coming up at the Jade Monkey for the Devil's Advocates next Tuesday. So if you want to see all the hard work that Brian put in making a patio, I mean, experiencing Hawk's new patio, you should check out the Devil's Advocates 3 to 6 p.m. live at the Jade Monkey, the first Summer of Love 2.0 Boosted Boogaloo party to follow as well. And then this Wednesday, we got a really exciting show coming up for the Up North podcast. We got Kirk Bangstad is going to be playing some of the testimonies from the individuals that are suing Ron Johnson and some of the other insurrectionists here in Wisconsin, talking about the ramifications of how the big lie has affected their lives and their personal relationships here in Wisconsin. So Kirk's going to be having a fantastic show. You're going to want to be sure to tune in to the Up North podcast at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. But Brian, we're talking about the conversation that's being had around the attack or the vandalism attack of a anti-abortion office here in the state of Wisconsin, as well as a number of the key ramifications of what's going to be on the ballot this fall. And before we dive into any more of the stories, let's get to a couple more callers here. We want to squeeze them in. We got Ross in Middleton. Ross, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey guys, I sort of tuned in, I think, towards the tail end of when you guys were talking about Johnson and his self-righteous or his phony concern about the leaking from Alito's, you know, probably one of Alito's little assistants or something. You know, in my opinion, the average Wisconsinite doesn't really care whether or not there's a leak. I mean, that's not, we don't really care. For us, it's news. It's like, okay, we sort of see the train coming at us now more than before. But Johnson sort of, and I think Mitch McConnell a few days ago, all this righteous anger about the leak. And I remember during the Trump era, it was all these leakers. And it's just like, I mean, if it was my organization, I would be upset too if a leak. But I don't think the public really cares, you know, about the leak. You know, and the other thing about the, you know, just in terms of this whole, you know, abortion thing, I'm a 60-year-old guy. It's not really up to me. But I sort of feel like we've been riding on this legal kind of decision, the Roe v. Wade from back in the 70s or whenever it was. And I think now
it's a fantastic political football, Ross.
Yeah, it's a big football, but I think at least now we can officially get down to it and make it, you know, create a national law. So there's none of this, oh, yeah, one state can do it, another state can't. Hopefully there will be enough incentive. I don't think it's on the top of the majority of Americans' minds. Religious radicals, I'm sure, you know, the worship of the fetus is a big deal to them, you know. But I think for most people it's like, okay, it's an issue, but it isn't the most important. I think it's going to take time. But now we can hopefully work on solving it nationally and then be done with it. It will just be out of the Supreme Court's hands forever.
Yeah, well, the problem, Ross, is yes, nobody codified this law because Roe v. Wade was always there in the background. It was the Supreme Court precedent that would seem very far-fetched for any conservatives to be able to overturn. But in 2020, when Mitch McConnell kept playing hardball and jammed through Amy Coney Barrett's nomination days before the presidential election that Donald Trump then lost and he was a lame duck president, he played hardball. He did what he had to do to get what he wanted on the court, and it was precedent breaking. It was a lot of things, and the fact of the matter is, for there to be 60 Democratic votes, or excuse me, not even 60 Democratic votes, say 60 pro-choice votes in the U.S. Senate, that's not going to happen after this cycle, and it's probably not even going to happen after the 2024 cycle in the Senate. It could take up to 6 years for Democrats to be able to have a 60-vote majority in the U.S. Senate that was pro-choice and to be able to codify something like Roe v. Wade into law. And so the hard part there is, you either got to say, well, this is going to be 6 years down the road that we'll be able to codify that, or you got to own up to it now, get rid of the filibuster, and do the hardball that Mitch McConnell and Republicans have shown that they're willing to play at the federal level to be able to get something like this on the legislative books and be able to allow women to have the autonomy over their own bodies rather than letting a Supreme Court overturn half a century of precedents and quote unquote leave it up to the states who are rushing, by the way. Brian, this would be a whole show's worth of information about the legislatures around the country, the state legislatures around the country that
rushing
are rushing to eliminate birth control, eliminate any exemptions. Here in Wisconsin, the legislative director for Pro-Life Wisconsin said on Friday that they are going to work, if they get the proper governor and legislature in place after this next cycle, that they are going to do away with any exemptions to abortion in Wisconsin, including the medical necessity to save the mother's life. That is what Pro-Choice Wisconsin wants to do. And at the federal level, Democrats are kind of not prepared to play this game to the way that Republicans are playing it. And I hate calling it a game because it shouldn't be a game. These are women's lives that we're talking about. But it's going to be interesting to watch how this continues to develop.
Real quick about the leaker. You know what organizations don't leak? Ones that inspire honor and integrity.
Yeah, one that hasn't already been degraded by, you know, eliminating Supreme Court justice off of it for all of 2016, then slamming one in after 8 days before an election after claiming you can't appoint a Supreme Court justice in an election year.
Let's hear what Jean from Eau Claire has to say. How you doing, Jean?
Hi, guys. I'm going to try to make it short. You know, as the truth comes out about, you know, the new Republicans and their lying and cheating ways, what they have done, they are trying to reframe their party as saints versus sinners, utilizing the religious right that this is, you know, sanctimonious, that we got to stop this abortion type stuff, and we the Republicans who've never paid one goddarn, you know, they've used it as a tool, but they never did anything about it because they always had that to run on. But now they don't have anything to run on because they're outed as the fraudulent people that they are, with all the things they've done in the individual states and at our capital. So now they're going to need the religious right to come out as these guys are the saints when they could care less. I really believe a lot of them, most of them, could care less about the abortion issue.
Of course, Jeannie. But you know what I got to tell you? I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints because sinners are much more fun.
Was that a Billy Joel reference from the guy that doesn't like Billy Joel?
Listen, sir, we only do 80s Joel here, okay?
Jeannie, we really appreciate your call. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Man, does this 2 o'clock hour fly by fast. If you missed any portion
like
of the show...
We have like five things we have to do right now. Like,
nope. You missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Otherwise, Brian and I will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.